I'm Adam.
And I'm Mike.
Welcome to The Dad Experience,
a podcast where dads can connect
and openly share stories.
Here's what to expect on this episode of The Dad Experience.
So I met my first wife. I was 24, she was 23, and I met her, and she had a seven-year-old already, so she'd had her first child very young. Then I quickly became his dad, and I think I can look back now, Adam, and say that if there was a book on what not to do when you step into that role, I'm the book.
The Dad Experience.
Welcome again. We have a great guest with us today on The Dad Experience. Today we are talking to Nick. Nick is a dad who has experience with blended families. He's going to talk to us a little bit about the ups and downs of fatherhood and making those blended families happen. On his professional time, Nick spends his day working with other dads to help them on their journey through fatherhood.
Welcome, Nick, to the show.
Thanks, Adam. It's great to be on the show. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we're so excited. You know, it's been a little while since we've had somebody from across the pond on the show. So it's always great to experience different cultures and have different folks from all over the world to share their experiences. Because you know what, a lot of things we're going through are very similar, and there's some things that we can learn from each other. So it's so great to have somebody else on from a different background, culture that's different from the majority of our guests here at the Dad
awesome.
Experience.
So well, welcome. Let's hope we can understand each other.
I think we'll be okay.
I reckon we will.
So, you know, we start off all of our shows here at the Dad Experience with who lives with you at home and what's the makeup of your household?
Sure. Great question. So I am remarried. So at our home, we are a blended family. Between us, we have six children. Only one of them lives with us full time. So that is my stepdaughter, who's 18. So she's with us full time. And then we have, every other weekend, we have three other children living with us, all teenagers. So two of them are 16 and one of them is 17. And then we also have another child each who are older. One is 20 and one is 29. So we don't see so much of them. They don't come to stay with us so often.
Mm-hmm. They're living their adult life now, right?
They certainly are. Absolutely. In fact, my oldest, who's 29, has got his own children as well. So he's really, you know, he's in a completely different phase of life right now.
Right. So you're a grandfather too, is what you're saying.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah.
That's awesome. How is that compared to being the father? What is the biggest difference that you notice?
Well, I've got to be honest with you, Adam. I am a grandfather, but I don't see a lot of my grandsons.
Okay.
Because they've moved away to another part of the country. In fact, all my children moved away. So I'm a little bit of a remote grandfather. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, my son's relationship also broke down, so he's not even a full-time parent in that respect either. So okay. When we get our chance, you know, we do the grandparenting, and it is a completely different experience. In the same way that I've seen my parents be grandparents to my children, I don't think you have to be quite the disciplinarian. You can get away with being more of the fun guy. let the parents worry about what's right and wrong.
Right. No, that's, I think you've earned it when you get to that point though, right?
You've
gotten your kids to the point where they're functional on their own and they're raising their kids and they're raising them in the way that you would hope they would raise them. So then you get to do those things that, and it's also like it comes full circle. I think, you know, by the time I'm assuming when my wife and I become grandparents, hopefully someday that we'll forget about all those times where we're like, why did you let them have that? Because I'm sure we're going to get into that situation too at some point in our lives.
Without a doubt. I tell you, with my mum, the number of times she's let my kids get away with stuff that I wasn't allowed to get away with when I was young. And hang on a minute, a new set of rules.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I see that. I see that every now and then too in our household as well. It's pretty funny, you know. But you know, so you did talk a little bit about blended families right out the gate when you talked a little bit about your household. But you know, I think that you know on the Dad Experience we don't do enough and share enough. We've done it a couple times, but not enough to really talk about blended households and how it works and how you make a successful blended household. So first off, how do you build a relationship with the new additions to your family? Family, stepchildren, you know, the combining of the families. There's a lot more that goes on than just building the one-on-one relationship. You've got to build a cohesive network, I would assume.
Absolutely. And I've had a couple of different experiences. So just to mention, my 29-year-old son isn't mine but biologically either. So I became his dad and I adopted him when I married his mum. So there's another dynamic there, which we maybe we'll talk about in a minute. But in terms of the blended family, which for me happened a couple of years ago, it will be 2 years in a week's time that we got married, actually. Then really for us, it was about building friendships with each other's children in the lead up to the marriage. And I think this is the key. I mean, with our stepchildren on both sides, they're teenagers. So it's maybe a bit different than if they were very, very young. And with that comes certain challenges because teenagers are, you know, have their own minds, and it would be very hard to step into a disciplinarian role as a step parent in that place. So actually what I've done and what my wife has done for my children is focus on building friendship, building trust, building respect, trying to meet them with where they're at. And really what we've looked to do is build a family unit that functions very well as a unit. To a point where they all look forward to hanging out together and spending time together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's important. So was it something that just happened pretty quickly? I mean, was everybody pretty receptive to her? Did it take a lot of work and a lot of one-on-one time as well as family time? And just, you know, how did that work? Was there a lot of open communication? How did that transition kind of break through?
Yeah, it's an interesting journey, to be honest with you, Adam, because my wife has three children, and her eldest was very resistant to me. I'm not gonna lie about that. He really didn't like me, and he made no secret of that either. And so now he hasn't spent as much time around me as her younger two had, but he just made his mind up, and I don't know whether I was a threat to his mum in that respect. I suspect he was looking out for his mum, and he was worried that I might hurt her. And me marrying his mum was an absolute indication that there had never any hope for his mum and dad to get back together, of course, as well. Mm-hmm. And so with him, I had to kind of just let him be him. And I certainly wasn't going to try and push myself into his life. I was always be pleasant, be respectful to him, regardless of how he was towards me. And now, the last couple of times we've seen him, as I said, we don't see as much of him. He's been a completely transformed character, very, very pleasant, very respectful. We've had some good conversations. So that was to me, the secret there was just allow him to have his time, have his space, and come through when it was right for him. With the younger two, it's been more of building that friendship. There's been a little bit of one-on-one time with them both. I invested a lot of time with my stepdaughter, who's 18, helping her. In the early stages, I helped her with maths when she was at school. And just spent a little bit of time meeting up with her one-on-one, talking through some of life stuff with her in that sort of father figure role, if you like. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of enabled us to get to where we got to. I've got to be honest, I think we got really lucky. Our kids get on fantastically well, and they were keen for us to get married probably before we were even ready to get married.
Well, that's nice. That's great.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you know, that's probably a testament to you guys too. And they saw the compatibility there. I mean, our kids, whether they're young, old, or whatever, they can really sense when you kind of, you know, even at a really young age, they can sometimes sense when you're just kind of trying to pull the wool over their eyes. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And I think that they're our best judge of character, especially the younger ones. I've found, you know, the innocence is still there, and they just see good in everything that.
Yeah.
You know, when something's not right, you can they can sense it, I think. So sometimes we need to just pay a little more attention to them as parents, you know, I find, because sometimes they lead us to and teach us as well.
I totally agree with you, Adam. And it was really interesting for me. I was a single dad for 10 years. And I was kind of like, through that process, I knew I'd like to get remarried. But, you know, a major part of that is how will that work for my children? Mm-hmm. And the longer that you're a single parent, the more change there's going to be for your children when you then step into a new relationship, and they've got to share your time, and they've got to, you know, deal with a new step parent coming on the scene, and step brothers, step sisters. And I've always thought that as much as it was down to my choice of who I would remarry, I would take a massive indication from my children. And for me, this was a no-brainer because my kids absolutely loved my now wife before we got married, there was no hard decision for me to make. But I would always say to dads in a similar situation to me, you know, look at how that dynamic is working between your children and the woman that you're dating and maybe want to marry, because you will get the clues, you will get a real insight into how that's going to play out in the future.
Yeah. And, you know, kind of you talked a little bit about this at the beginning, and it was way obviously back in towards the beginning of your relationships. But what was it like, and what was the process and led you to adoption and making that decision? And kind of how did that work? Is there some things you can share with our, you know, our listeners about what you experienced going through that process and kind of what led you to becoming the adoptive parent?
I would love to, because I made 101 mistakes in that time, and yeah, I would love to share stuff that maybe stops other dads making the same mistakes. So I met my first wife. I was 24, she was 23, and I met her, and she had a 7-year-old already. So she'd had her first child very young, and she was raising him on her own. He had never known his biological dad, so he'd only ever known his mum as his parent. And so once we got together, and we got together very quickly, to be honest with you, then I quickly became his dad. And I think I can look back now, Adam, and say that if there was a book on what not to do when you step into that role, I'm the book. So I probably made every mistake under the sun. And the first mistake was almost me and my ex-wife pushing for me to be that dad straight away. And so within a few short months of us being together, he was referring to me as his dad. And I don't think we had time to build the relationship. We didn't have time to grow into that space. You know, normally a dad's got the 9-month period of before a baby's born, and then you've got the early years to form that relationship with a child. When you're a young man and you become a dad to a 7-year-old, it's a completely different situation. And if I look back now, I have a lot of regret about how I was as a dad to him. And to be honest with you, Adam, if I was to summarize it, I put rules before love. Mm-hmm. And I think as men, we're very logical. We've got this idea that, you know, if I'm going to be a dad, this is how I'm going to be a dad. And suddenly you become a dad, and you become a dad to someone that's had several years of being raised with certain rules, with certain ways of doing things. And I tried to stamp my rules and my way of doing things into that situation straight away. And of course, it didn't work very well. And if the rules weren't being followed and the discipline wasn't there and things weren't going how I wanted them to, then I wasn't allowing my love to flow as easily as it should have done, because I was so hung up on all the other stuff. And I do regret that now. And I've had lots of honest conversations with my son about it. And we're in a great space now.
That's great.
I'm really grateful for that.
And how was it, if you don't mind me asking, you don't have to answer this, but how was it for you after it was your first wife and you separated and you were the adoptive parent? How did that relationship develop? Because, you know, there's a lot of people out there that this happens to. We don't think about it. You know, I don't think about it. You know, I'm in a marriage with my two kids, and it's, you know, we're really happy, and, like, you know, I don't foresee anything changing, but you never know. There's people that do get into marriages and then they adopt, and then they realize that their marriage isn't what it should be for each other and for the family. So how did that relationship continue after that?
The relationship with my adopted son?
Yes.
Yeah. It was mixed, to be honest with you, at first. So during our marriage breakdown, it was a bit ugly. My son was a teenager, and he was probably suffering a little bit of me and my ex-wife being so caught up in our own problems and our own separation that he got a little bit neglected. He went off the rails. And, you know, we're both trying to pull him back, but we're trying to pull him back separately. And it didn't work great. Now, once he'd moved out of that space, I was always there for him, and he knew I was always there for him, but we didn't have a particularly close relationship. So in his late teens, we would see each other now and then. If he needed anything, he knew that I was there without fail, but we didn't have a close relationship. What for me, the real change came when he then moved into his 20s. He then became a dad. He actually became a stepdad in his early 20s, and then he had two children of his own. And it was a really interesting day for me, Adam, when he turned around to me after he'd become a dad. And he said, you know, now I'm a dad myself. I can see that everything you did because you cared for me, you loved me, and you wanted the best for me. And that was kind of like quite a moment for me to think, okay, that he can see through the my mistakes and my failings and see that actually I was looking out for him. I was trying to do the right thing. I just wasn't properly equipped to do the right thing for him at that time. And you know, now, you know, I don't see a lot of him, but we stay in touch. And actually this year he came on our family holiday with us, which was an absolute, you know, it was the highlight of my year, to be honest with you. Just getting that time, constant time with him, and just seeing how he's grown into a young man as well. It was just awesome.
That's great. That's great. That's good to hear too. And it's good to hear that, you know, we definitely learn from our mistakes, and we learn by watching and observing. And I think we do a disservice sometimes, even in everything we do, when we don't, that's wrong or that's wrong, rather than, well, it wasn't the best way to do that, but how did we arrive at that, and what could be better? You know what I mean? And observing. Yeah, and it sounds absolutely like the observation ended up taking over there, and it sounded like it worked out, you know, to be positive. And it's also interesting, you know, in education, it's funny that I teach, and it's funny what you said. You said, you know, setting rules and setting things, you know, that were yours, you know, to the, you know, off the gate, and kind of before becoming that friend. And it's so true. It's, you know, when we teach too, like in education, it's always, we're setting the rules. They're posted somewhere. We're referring to those rules because they need to know the structure. They need to know the ground structure. And then you can kind of break those barriers down a little bit as you get farther along and when things are understood. So it's really interesting to hear that from the flip side, on the parenting side as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a massive lesson for me. Mm-hmm. And it was something that I could then take into my second marriage. And as I was becoming step parent, I could obviously look back and think, what would I have done differently now, had I gone back in time to that place? And that's really helped, I think, with the friendship that I've got with my stepchildren now, because I've been able to focus on that stuff rather than being so hung up about rules and procedures and everything
right,
else.
Right. Well, this is a good place for us to take a short break. Don't forget that the Dad Experience is a part of the Parents On Demand Network. You can catch our podcast on their app, which you can get at the Google Play Store or the Apple iTunes Store. Stick around at the end of this episode to hear about another great parenting podcast that, if you love the Dad Experience, we're sure you're going to like. We're going to have more with Nick here right after the break. We're going to talk about blended families, adoption, step parenting, all those great things that, you know, we don't always necessarily touch on here on the Dad Experience, but are so important to hear about. So stick around after the break and we'll talk more with Nick. Welcome back to the Dad Experience. We have Nick Teal on today. He is a parent, lots of experience, lots of different walks of life, and having many different dad hats on, as we've discussed in the first break. But, you know, we talked a little bit about being an adoptive dad and also being a step parent and blending your families together. What have you found to be the most difficult thing you've experienced in your parenting journey since becoming a stepdad and or an adoptive dad?
Mm-hmm. That's a good question, Adam. I think it's probably been with being becoming a stepdad in the last 2 years, having to accept that as parents, we parent differently. And what is right for my wife to do with her children may not be what I would do with my children. But now we're a blended family. We have to find ways to make that all fit and make that all work. And so we've had a few, I'm not going to say hiccups, but it's just that that's not how I wanted it done, or that's not how I would do it, but that's how you would do it. And it's knowing when to step back, knowing when to and when not to step back and step in, and getting the balance right is probably been the biggest challenge.
Yeah. And I would imagine that. I would imagine too, coming in from having parenting experience, and this is just me asking, and please, you know, interject. I would imagine too, coming from different backgrounds as parents at the start, is also, you know, like you said, it's hard to sometimes what your spouse or your significant other may do may be different from what you decide, but you're also a team at that point, and you've have come with different experiences, and I'm sure that communication and all those great things are so important, because man, that's got to be hard from in knowing not every child is the same, and knowing not every discipline style is the same. It's got to be hard to blend that together and make it work. So Absolutely. Was there any one trick or one thing that you guys made sure as you and your partner to make sure that you were always kind of on the same path? Would you check in? Was there anything, or just kind of organically evolved?
I think it's a bit of both. I think we would both take the viewpoint that in front of the kids, we're generally going to back each other up. But we've also got to be true to ourselves. And I believe in being very honest. You know, our kids are 16 and above. So, you know, if they were much younger, I would say that you just back each other up, and you don't show any sort of cracks in that situation, because they're the age they are. And one of my highest values for me, Adam, is honesty with my kids. I've always been very honest with them and have that relationship with them. I'm not going to turn away from that. And so if we have a situation, I'll share one with you, actually, which was quite a recent challenge that we had within this blended family situation. So my stepdaughter, she's finished education and she's had a bit of time out. And my view was, I think it's time to start paying rent. And my wife's view was, I don't want her to pay any rent. And so we had a little bit of tension, as you might understand. In my view, it's like, well, if it was my children, I'd make them pay rent. And my wife was saying, well, I wouldn't. And if you weren't here, she'd pay nothing. And then my wife agreed, okay, I'll make her pay rent. And then I listened to a podcast about relationships. And it explained that what I was doing was creating this triangle and causing a tension between my wife and my stepdaughter. And all I was going to do in doing that was ruin the relationships with all of us. So I actually turned around and I said, you know what? I realized the error of my way here. You know how I feel about it. But if you don't want to charge a rent, I've got to let you have the power and the decision over this one. And so that was a real interesting learning experience for me. And a time when I've had to actually move away from what I thought was right and allow my wife to do what she felt was right. But I'm also honest enough with my stepdaughter so she knows where I stand on this situation.
Yeah. And it's interesting to take that step because, you know, me personally, I probably would have taken the same step you did as a parent going, okay, we're not going to go to school. That's fine. Or we're not going to do whatever. We're going to take a year off or whatever it may be, but we're going to do something to provide because we can't do everything for free. But it's interesting to be able to, I can see where that dynamic would create that. And then it would just create more problems. And then I would imagine you have more problems down the road. So it's very interesting that you took a look at that and flipped it and tried to look at it through a different set of eyes. That right there was a great piece of advice. But what with becoming a stepfather and having a blended family and being an adoptive father, is there any advice that you can give to parents out there? It can be anything from discipline. It can be just making it a cohesive knit family to, you know, anything that you've experienced. What's the best piece of advice that if you were walking down the street, you wish somebody would have said to you, you're going to need to know this because it's going to help you along the way. And obviously there's probably lots of stuff, but is there anything that sticks out?
I think coming back to what I said around my failings as an adoptive dad, lead with love before discipline. Love should come first. And if you can get that bit right, then in any of the situations, whether you're becoming an adoptive parent or a step parent, you're setting things up for success rather than failure. And as becoming a stepdad more recently, I would say the biggest thing for me is lead with honesty, respect, and friendship. I have a view, Adam, that when our kids are teenagers, we shouldn't need to be disciplining them too much anyway. Hopefully, with the most of that work's been done, and it's now about guiding them through into adulthood. And so I want to be there. Now, I'm not going to be the friend that they can, you know, I'm not suggesting good cop, bad cop. I'm not suggesting that they tell me stuff that they don't want to tell their mum because I will actually relay it back to their mum. But I'm suggesting that we can come alongside them and act in that friend, that mentor, and that, you know, that step parent role. But also know that there are some battles that are not yours to be fought. Because there are some battles. If both their parents are still on the scene and they've still got their dad, as well as their mum, then some things are for their mum and dad to deal with, and we need to just sit behind that ever so slightly. I will support my wife. I will reinforce what she is saying, but I'm not necessarily going to get involved because that's not so much
right. My you place. Know, it brings to my attention something too. Like when I'm in education, do a lot of the things I relate back to education. We call it Zen teaching, where if you can give them the tools, they can create what they need and learn what they need from the things that you kind of give them, and they become self-driven after they've kind of gotten that guidance at a certain point. And obviously, the younger they are, the more structure there's there, and as they get older, the less, you know, the more we take away. And it seems like there's also, you know, a position for almost like a Zen parenting moment is what made me think of that when you told me. It's like, we've given you the tools, now be you, and we'll be here to guide you, but we're not going to be that safety net all the time. We're not going to be the one that just catches you and tells you the answer. So it's absolutely
I think we've got to teach our kids how to cope in life. You know, that's part of our role. And as they move through to late teens and out of that space, and they may be moving out of home and going away to university or starting work, they need to be armed for that phase of their life. And I think that's our responsibility.
And now it's time for my favorite part of the episode. It's a segment, a reoccurring segment that we have, things we can't wait to see through our children's eyes. You know, you've have the gamut of children and seeing them grow and become adults and young adults. What is there something out there that you couldn't wait to see through your children's eyes, or that you still maybe can't wait to see through your children's eyes and experience again that brought you so much joy as a child or as an adult, even as a parent?
Yeah, you know, that's such a good question. And that question challenged me, Adam, and I found the challenge quite interesting in itself. And I think, you know, if I look back at my childhood memories, then actually spending little snippets of time with my dad really stood out to me. We used to go fishing a lot. I don't think I enjoyed the fishing. I think I enjoyed going with my dad, having a nice cup of soup and just having that time with him. And that's something that I have been so intentional over with my children, is spending quality time with them. You know, my children have lived 200 miles away from me for the last 10 years, but I have invested so heavily in spending every other weekend with them. And when I'm with them, I'm with them. And so that's a massive, massive part of it. What I actually did to turn this around slightly, I actually asked my children, now they're more grown up and they've had a lot of children experiences, I said to them, when you're a parent, what things that you've experienced with me do you want your children to experience? And both of them said they want to take them to Legoland. So I guess that's a great memory for them both. And we've done that a few times, and I looked up before we got on the show, and yeah.
Oh yeah, we have one not far from where I live. Well. It's not as big and as elaborate as the ones like in Florida or the one in over in Europe, but we do have Legoland. But you know what? A lot of the answer that comes up a lot, and it's one that's probably one of my top two or three on my list as well as a parent, is going to Disney World for the first time and experiencing it the way that I did.
Yeah.
So you know, and it's.
Yeah, I was listening to one of your other podcasts then.
Yeah, so the guest had said on that. It's common.
And as a funny story, Adam, about Disney, because when I was a single dad, I said to my kids, I'm not going to take you to Disney because I don't know how I'll manage it with me on my own with the two younger children. Because that's one of the challenges of being a single dad is how do you please, you know, when you've got two young children, how do you look after them both? And I always said to my daughter, when I get married, we'll go to Disney. Now I'm married, she's reminding me, she's 16, and she's like, Dad, it's time for Disney. and we haven't gone yet. They've had some pretty amazing holidays in the last 2 years, don't get me wrong. But Disney,
well, it's a great one, and it's an exhausting one, but it's well worth it, I can tell you. I can't wait to take my kids. They're still too young. Yeah. I won't take them yet, but I want them to experience it like I did. I mean, all the way down. When I was a kid, we went down in a motorhome. So, like, that's what I want to do. I want to do it that way because it was so great and so neat to experience that. So, yeah, absolutely. I think those are great things to experience and see. And maybe you'll be able to tag along too when they go to Legoland, so you can kind of see it full circle as well.
Exactly.
That would be very neat. So, you know, this is a chance for to let folks know where they can find you. I know that you do some stuff with helping out other dads and kind of taking that on as like a life coach. So let folks know where they can find you and how they can get to you and maybe, you know, experience some of the things that you have to offer.
Yeah, sure. Thanks for that chance, Adam. So most of my presence is on Facebook at the moment. So I have a page on Facebook, which is at facebook.com/dadup today. I call it Dad Up because I think dads need to step up and be there for their kids. So that's Dad Up Today. And we also have a group on Facebook just for dads. And that is at facebook.com/groups/extraordinarydads. Because I believe that ordinary men can become extraordinary dads. So if anyone wants to come along and check the page out or join the group, I do a lot of videos in the group where I'm coaching dads. As you mentioned, I'm a life coach, and I've really committed myself now. I've turned my back on my previous career just to focus on helping dads become better dads.
And we'll put all that stuff in our show notes so folks can find you and interact with all you, all your stuff and all the other dads out there. So thank you for sharing all that with us. And thank you again for being a part of the show.
No problem. Well, thanks for having me.
Awesome. It's been a real pleasure. Don't forget the Dad Experience, part of Parents on Demand. If you have a question for a guest or have a question for me or a show idea, let us know. Hit us up an email, experienceanddad@gmail.com. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, all those great places. Just search for the Dad Experience Podcast and you'll find us. So until next time, thanks for listening to the Dad Experience.
This podcast is a proud member of Parents on Demand, a network of high-quality shows for families just like yours. Download our free network app on Apple and Android and listen to your favorite episodes.